Welcome to the Mothers You Know podcast. Thank you for being here. This is a place where we as women remember the spirit God gave us. We know how much we matter, and we believe all things are possible to them that believe on this Savior Jesus Christ. Here at Mothers You Know, we support the parents of young men in the Sons of Helaman and young women in the Daughters of Light programs at Life Changing Services. These programs provide therapeutic and mentoring services for youth struggling with depression, anxiety, self-harm, pornography, and any other unwanted or difficult behaviors. We offer parent support, training, and resources for mothers and fathers seeking the best way to support their loved one. Any mother is welcome to join in the Mothers Who Know classes, support, and training. You do not need to have a child in Life Changing Services to join in. We hope you'll join us. I am Karen Broadhead. I serve as the director of Mothers You Know, and I serve as the parent support specialist at Life Changing Services. I invite you to join with me and other mothers from across the country in our Warrior Mothers Who Know online support and training group. If you have a child struggling with pornography, depression, anxiety, or other difficult behaviors, you will find a safe and uplifting place to learn from other moms and learn principles and strategies to best support your loved one. Please go to motherswhoknow.org to find the online meeting details. We talk about difficult things here with the intent to shine light in dark corners and to eliminate isolation and shame. We are mothers with warrior hearts who are raising the warriors of this generation. We know we must learn to fight well for ourselves first. Then we can confidently support and cheer on our loved ones in the best ways. Good morning. Welcome to our Stay by the Tree Messages of Hope series. We're so grateful that you're here for our three-part webinar series. We have such a neat series this time around, and I'm so excited for you to meet some of my good friends that I have so much love and respect for. I'm Karen Broadhead. I'm the director of Mothers Who Know, and I'm just thrilled that you're here with us this morning. To get started, I'm going to share a screen with you and tell you a little bit about who we are here at Mothers You Know and who we're sponsored by, as well as what to look forward to in today's message of hope and then the next 2 weeks here. So we'll have some announcements at the beginning and some information at the end as well. So here I go, sharing the screen. If you're here, we're so grateful. We know there's lots of things that you can be doing this morning, and we're so happy that you're here, and I'm going to take your time and make the effort to be here to hear this message of hope and to love and support your family and find out more about some of the things that we offer here. So Mothers Who Know, this is a common thing that we do, our Stay by the Tree webinar series. We do it every 8 to 9 weeks, and boy, I'm not sure what number this is, but we've been doing this for a while, and we've been so excited to notice your interest and so grateful for all of the neat messages of hope that we've had for all women for this free webinar series. But we're sponsored, Mothers the Worth Group and Warrior Women and Daughters of Light. These are the three programs you'll hear about it from Life Changing Services. We're sponsored by Life Changing Services. We're all women who are working with women who've also been women in the trenches. And we're just so excited for you to know more about Life Changing Services, because it's this very thing that we needed to know about. Years ago, me personally, over 15 years ago, I was in desperate need of some help for my family. And when I found Life Changing Services, it was just thrilling to me to know that there was a resource that was grounded in a gospel-centered way with my values that would bring training and healing, not just to my child, but to our whole family. And so I want to highlight these programs for you really quickly. the program that my son needed that was just so vital and has blessed his life tremendously. He's now much older, but it's just been such a cool thing. The Sons of Healing program is a group training program to help young men overcome pornography challenges. Men of Moroni is a group training program to help YSA, young single adults, and married men overcome pornography issues. And the Worth program, which is the one that you'll be hearing about today, which is just amazing and powerful, is group support for married and divorcing women experiencing betrayal trauma. And Mothers is a Christ-centered support training and connection for mothers of all ages and stages. And Daughters of Light and Warrior Women of Light is our therapeutic and training program with group support for women and young women fighting anxiety, depression, and pornography and other issues. And then we also offer marriage repair workshops. These are weekly group trainings with licensed therapists and mentors, and it's specifically for men and women. We also offer individual counseling services and other trainings. You can find it on our website at lifechangingservices.org. So we love to talk about, why do we call this the Stay by the Tree webinar series? So Stay by the Tree is the motto of Mothers Who Know, and our theme is found in 2 Timothy 1:7, and the theme is, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we love this. It's like a reminder in a battle heart, in a woman's battle heart, a warrior heart. It's like a battle cry, stay by the tree, a reminder of where our power comes from. So as mothers, we understand that the worry and the fear we can feel, hoping to make sure our loved ones find the Savior. The name of this webinar series, Stay by the Tree, comes from a spiritual account from the Book of Mormon of a beloved parent and prophet Lehi, commonly called the Tree of Life vision. The vision beautifully depicts that the best place for us to stand while beckoning to a loved one on their journey to the Savior is right next to the Savior. Lehi beckons, invites, and speaks with all the feelings of a tender parent, and sometimes even calls out with a loud voice, yet he never leaves the tree. He never forces others to him, just invites, standing safely by the Savior and partaking of the fruits he generously extends. In the best standing next to the Savior and partaking of the fruits that he generously extends is the best place for us to feel peace, hope, and love, even in the middle of hard. And we just really work at supporting each other in this, and we're glad that you're here at our Stay by the Tree webinar series. Today's message of hope for our empowering women of the latter days. Such a hopeful message, and that's what we hope that you'll understand in these next 3 weeks, is that we have services here at Life Changing Services that can empower and help and bring hope to the whole woman. And so we're so excited. Kim Day, she's a professional licensed therapist. She's the Worth Program Director, and highlighting the Worth Program today. And Worth is an acronym for Women of Rebirth and Therapeutic Healing. I'm so excited for you to get to know her. Kim graduated from BYU with a degree in psychology and served a mission for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on Temple Square in Salt Lake City and Chicago, Illinois. I did not know that, Kim. That's fun. After returning, she received a master's degree in counseling psychology from Washington State University. Thanks to the prompting of a good friend in 2017, her personal journey brought her to Worth as a participant. She fell head over heels in love with the program, and it became one of the greatest desires to be part of it. She has been a therapist in the Worth program since 2018. And in the spring of 2023, she took over as the Worth director, and we're just so thrilled about that. And isn't this an awesome picture? I just love this picture. So great. This is a picture of Kim with her family. She lives in Olympia, Washington. And that's a good thing to notice. A lot of people think, we didn't know that you serve people everywhere. We have clients and lots of women and families that we serve all over the country, in the United States and Canada. We are just really so excited to offer everything that we do here at Life Changing Services online. But so that's just poignant because Kim lives in Olympia, Washington, and is the program director for the Worth program here in Utah. With her four absolutely adorable children, they're extremely energetic and chronically crazy kiddos. She's super excited for springtime and especially for lilacs and sunshine. That sounds amazing. And she is not excited about laundry, property taxes, or cavities. I love that. And I love you too, Kim, and we're so grateful for your message. And we're going to turn the time over to you. And just so everybody understands the layout of how this meeting will work, Kim, we're going to let her we're going to follow her lead in whatever she does in her presentation. But at the end of this meeting, we'll have a Q&A. And now, do you have any questions for Kim about what she does professionally, more about the Worth Group, or something about you and your family individually? We just would love for you to make note of those questions that you might have. And then we also have someone here from the Worth Group that will be helping in the chat, and I wanted to make sure, and we'll turn it over to you. Thank you, Kim.
Fantastic. Thank you. I am so excited to be here, and I appreciate that warm welcome and introduction. Fantastic. So you should see just a big picture of women in a field of sunflowers. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. I appreciate the introduction, and you just got to see my family, but I needed to update you on the newest additions to our family and share a sweet story that just happened for us a few days ago. And as I've been thinking about you, ladies, wherever you are in your lives and in the world, and the challenges and the heartaches and the joys and the thrilling, exciting human experiences that you must be having, I had a really tender little moment here last week. Our mama cat, just very young little mama cat, was super pregnant, and we were waiting. And I was feeling for her because I could see that she was so ready to pop, and I really felt for her. And one evening, she was particularly agitated, and I was like, oh, I think this is the time. But unlike most mama cats, she did not want to be left alone. She would follow us around crying and wanting comfort and wanting security, and she would climb up in our laps. And once my two little boys, we got them off to bed because they would not have been helpful in this endeavor. She gathered all the women in the house. She took my two daughters and she got me, and she brought us together, and she sat in our laps. We pet her as she labored. And right before she was ready to give birth to her little babies, she just stepped a few feet away and went into a little closet we had prepared with towels. And my two daughters that you just saw in that picture, and I watched as she delivered these little kittens one by one, and she would have a kitten and she'd turn around and she'd clean and caress and care for and tend this little kitten, and then she would have another kitten. But she wanted the support of other women. She did not want to be alone in this. And I have marveled over the wisdom of this young little mother cat. And you can see her here as she wanted to share, and it was her task and she did a great job. She wanted that extra strength of knowing she was united with other women. And she brought us these four little baby kittens. And so if you need a kitten and are anywhere near Olympia, Washington, we have kittens in about 2 months that need homes. This is our newest addition to our little family. I had to share that sweet story before we got started on the bulk of the presentation here. And as Karen said, this endeavor is the beginning of an effort that Anelity actually spearheaded and was inspired to begin. And Karen is the organizational support and organizational skills and charisma that made it happen. And I get to be along for the ride. But we have met and have talked about our desire to bring more of a sense of unity to the women that we serve and to serve the whole woman and not just the piece of her that is represented in these very distinct programs that we run. In the past, women that were struggling with issues about motherhood, they went to Mothers Who Know, and not that they shouldn't now. And if they struggled with a spouse, they went to Earth. And if they were courageous enough to actually identify that they had their own struggles, they went to see Anelity. And most of us, our struggles, we connect with one of our roles. And women have been, we struggle with these roles of motherhood or with being a wife. But we also know that we have our own struggles. And sometimes that is overshadowed. And sometimes we get a sense of being lost in our roles. We get lost in these tasks that we have been assigned and that we have the blessing to participate in, but sometimes we can lose ourselves in that too. And so I'm excited by this effort that we are going to continue after this series of meeting the needs of women as a whole woman, all parts of her, not just the part that serves someone else. I have to be a bit honest with you. I have had a bit, or my presentation has a bit of an identity crisis here as I have thought about how to present to you information about our Worth program that has been the task assigned to me today. And so I've spent a lot of time thinking about the best way to introduce you to this program. And at first I thought I could do that and make it really academic and scientific, because that is really thrilling to me. I was thinking about talking about trauma and how it impacts the brain, polyvagal theory, maybe some PTSD symptomology, family systems theory, and how families are impacted when there is a sexually addicted father, a traumatized and betrayed mother, and the impact on our children and the roles that they take on and the burdens they take on. I thought, wow, that would be great to talk about and be really informational. And then I thought, what if I talk about the stages of healing from betrayal trauma, that an organization that champions betrayed partners has come up with, and they're really scientific. They've got lots of research and they've shown that these really large general phases of, at first there's a need for identifying safety and creating and stability. And then often women go into this phase of grief and mourning, followed up by this reconnection. And these obviously, just like stages of grief, these are not linear, but they're cyclical, and we can go through all of them within a few minutes, and then we progress through them over the time of our experience. I thought that would be great to elaborate on. And then I thought maybe I should elaborate from an administrative lens and tell these ladies about all these awesome aspects of our program. I could talk about our therapist-led support groups. We have incredible therapists that have a lot of experience and training around helping women heal after betrayal and are very trauma-informed, trauma-sensitive. We've got phase 1 classes to help women when they're really raw, when they first come into our program, to get some foundational understanding and principles that will help them to move through their healing journey. We've got individual coaching. We've got incredible mentor-led groups. We have an advanced healing group. We just relaunched, we've had for years, but we just relaunched our podcast, and we've just begun having educational courses that we offer through our Worth Education series. And you can see a couple that are coming up that we're really excited about. I'm really excited about what we're doing and how we're growing and how we're meeting needs. And as I thought about all these ways I could address this goal of introducing you to the Worth program today and how exciting it would be to talk about all these different aspects, I sat back and I thought, Kim, this is why you never get invited to any parties. This stuff is boring. Nobody wants to come and hear an hour-long presentation when they came to be inspired and uplifted about trauma. And I thought about it a little bit more, and I thought, how can I meet the needs of the women, the beautiful women who have come today, hoping to be inspired? I was inspired by the title. I assume Karen chose it. She's really good at this type of stuff, to the title of Empowering Women of the Latter Days. And I thought, that is exactly what I want to do. It is what I want to do with you today for this next hour. And it is what we strive to do in our Worth program. So my plan shifted a little bit, and I've decided, instead of going through the technical or logistical aspects of the Worth program, I was going to introduce you to this program in a little bit of a different way, in a way that I hope will inspire and will be meaningful to everyone who is here today, whether or not they're interested in Worth or have ever heard of us. So my goal is to share three things that I believe are called for from women in our world today. One tip or trick or tool that you can use when life gets hard, and a story. Because I believe that Worth fundamentally is about women's stories. And to introduce Worth to you, it feels appropriate to me to tell you a story. This is a true story from one of our participants, and I share it with her permission. Okay, this woman that I have worked with in this Worth program, at a very young age, around three, she'd experienced some sexual abuse that she could not remember. And obviously at the age she could not process. And although she did not have any conscious memory of it, her brain constantly worked, continually tried to make sense of what had happened. And as she grew up, she does remember terrifying nightmares, constantly occurring nightmares with themes of terrifying and invasive threats and images that she could just never get away from. As a child, she had learned to pray. And in these nightmares, when she realized that she was dreaming, she would fall on her knees and plead with God to wake her up and to help her escape. But to her recollection, he never did, and she would just have to wait out the terror, trying to run, trying to hide, but never actually escaping until her body would naturally wake her up and she would go about her day life until the next night and the next nightmare. Eventually, she learned to wake herself up from these, and that helped a lot as she got older. And for this and for other reasons, as a child, she learned very skillfully to disconnect from herself, to devalue her feelings and her needs, and to defer to the wisdom of the structure and the system that was in place, or to defer to the feelings and the needs of others. But it was her greatest secret desire to feel loved and to feel safe with someone. So she grew up strictly obedient to the rules, especially the rules of the church. And she eventually found who she thought was a noble, righteous, returned missionary, and was sealed in the temple. So excited to begin her happily ever after story. So I'm going to pause here for a second and offer a bit of a trigger warning here. If any of my friends Our sisters who are here are currently struggling with your own betrayal trauma and have a hard time not being pulled into your own story when topics like pornography or betrayal come up. I would like to invite you to take good care of yourself here. Please remember, this is not your story. There are elements in this story that are unique and that are not normal. And if you're coming here in a place where you're a little bit raw, feel free to step away for the next 2 minutes and 48 seconds, but please come hurriedly back for the jokes. Okay, they're going to be good. All right, so we're going to go back to our story here, back to our story of this young woman as she was hoping to begin her happily ever after, which actually never started. In fact, it blew up in her face pretty quickly, pretty much immediately after she got married. Her sweetheart was not at all interested in her. In fact, he was intensely disappointed by her and let her know it immediately. And when pornography and other sexual acting out behaviors were discovered a few months later, it was explained to her that it was his way of coping with his disappointment and depression, overwhelming depression over what he had got when he got stuck with her for eternity. What she did not understand and what she could not understand at that point was that his orientation coming into the marriage was that he was looking to her both to control his need for porn and to replace it. And when she failed on both counts, he held very little other value for her. But at that time, she didn't understand that. She knew that she'd been sealed in a temple. She knew she loved him. She knew she was going to make this work, and she knew God was going to help her. She turned her knowledge to the gospel. She turned to her knowledge of the gospel and earnestly applied the principles she grew up with, trying desperately hard to be more of what he wanted her to be, as well as be more loving, more understanding, more forgiving, more tolerant, in an attempt to love him out of his addiction. And she held on to her faith that if she did the best she could, God would help her and bless this marriage. And she clung to the hope that underneath it all, the acting out and disregard for her and mistreatment, there was a man that loved his wife. And she clung to that hope with everything, and it became a lifeline. It had to be true. After all, she had prayed and received confirmation of her decision to marry him, and they were sealed in the temple. As the marriage played out and her strategy of doing and being more failed to invite changes in her husband and continued to leave her with ongoing injuries, consistently unmet needs, and led her into her own acts of more and more self-betrayal, she lost more and more hope and became more and more depressed. She felt more and more unseen, unheard, unloved, and unwanted. Wow, I'm realizing that maybe this strategy of sticking away from trauma to be more upbeat, I missed the mark, didn't I? Okay, so let's talk a little bit, just a little bit about trauma. It can look a lot. It can look like a lot of different things. Oftentimes when we have women that come into our program, they're experiencing attachment wounds, relational wounds, identity wounds. And you can hear some of those playing out in this story. And there's a lot of spiritual wounding that often is experienced, and women don't know exactly how to address this, especially women of deep faith. When that faith is challenged and rocked, when it has been the rock, it can be very disconcerting. So I want to talk about that just for a moment, because nearly every woman I have seen come through our program bears her own spiritual wounds as she grapples with some of the complexities related to navigating things like shattered expectations of what a marriage should look like or how she should be treated, or attempting to apply true gospel principles to situations that do not seem to bring the outcome wanted or needed. Sometimes there's a process of reaching out for help to the church or to priesthood support. Sometimes that is received really well, and sometimes it's not. And that can be a source of disappointment and discouragement. Oftentimes, when there's trauma and so much intensity emotionally within a person, that can lead to feelings of being separated from the spirit due to how loud and overpowering those trauma responses and those trauma feelings are, which then can lead a woman to feel abandoned at her time of greatest need. And often there is, I would say actually, in almost all cases, gaslighting is, at least to some degree, is a probably universally common experience for betrayed partners. And for women of faith, the gaslighting experience often includes the manipulating of religious ideas, even weaponizing those ideas against the victim. The resulting injury then becomes twofold: the deception or lie or betrayal, and the injury caused by the misuse of something that is sacred. For example, demanding forgiveness when no change has really happened. There are many ways that this has happened, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that right now. Sometimes the words and the places and the ideas that before were so clear in our minds, things that were sacred, that warmed our hearts, that gave us peace, when there is trauma and there is an intertwining of that trauma with things like family or expectations or church, we can experience that once clarity of mind being very confusing and hard to see through. For example, when we maybe used to joyously belt out the songs of Zion, now we have to run from the room in tears when we hear the opening chords of Love at Home. Sometimes the very things that bring us peace and comfort now feel like they're daggers to the soul. Recognizing these injuries and this human experience, we try to create a sense of safety within our program where women can address these layers of complexity. So I want to pause and shift here and introduce this trick or tool that I'm going to use throughout the presentation. And this was something, it's a simple word, a three-letter word. Oftentimes when we talk and we're trying to make sense of things, we will, I think of the movie, if anybody has seen Fiddler on the Roof. And Tevye, if you haven't, that's okay, I'll explain it. Tevye is always trying to make decisions. And he said, he makes one point and he elaborates on that point. And then he goes and he says, but on the other hand, and then he elaborates the point on the other hand. And he's constantly trying to weigh his choices carefully. And he uses the word, but, and sometimes often we do that in our lives. There's this, but then there's this. And the tool that I've used that's really helpful is, instead of using but, which negates the reality of what you just said or your first point often, that but is very minimizing of what you just said, use the word and. For example, we can experience spiritual injury, have legitimate questions, doubts, and feelings of confusion, betrayal, anger, and even abandonment for understandable and justifiable reasons. We may have been mistreated, abused, and injured in the context of a family, a marriage, or even in the church that we love or in an association with church leaders. We do not need to minimize those experiences or pain in any way. And there is great healing and strength found in turning to God, in leaning in with faith, in risking a real relationship with Him, even when it seems easier to pull back, to shut down, and to self-protect. Let me illustrate this as we return to this story of the little girl in her nightmares. What meaning would she make from her experiences with God? After so many years of begging for help and relief, it would have been easy to believe that there was no God, or that if He was there, He surely did not care for her. Either way, she could not trust Him to show up for her. It is sometimes surprising to me how much God respects our agency And probably the most impactful choices we make are ones inside our own minds and our own hearts. This woman realized that she had a choice. She could choose to see herself as that abandoned little girl who nobody wanted. Not her husband, not her God, no one was coming for, not even God. Or she could choose to see a loving Father in heaven who never left her side, who stayed with her through every monster attack and every nightmare, who patiently and lovingly taught her how to wake herself up, who stayed with her in the marriage through all the deception and confusion, through the betrayal and the AIDS testing and the heartbreak and the brutal realizations that broke her out of denial into reality. Through all of it, he stayed with her. Not only was that the truth, but it became her choice to see it. Ladies, when we're going through hell, our very natural and understandable prayer in earnest is usually simply, get me out. I cannot stand to be here one more second. And sometimes God answers those prayers the way we want him to, by miraculously and obviously yanking us out of our current circumstances. And sometimes he quietly feeds us the strength to endure that one more second, that one more minute, that one more day, while he patiently teaches us how to walk out of it ourselves. Sometimes in our arrogance, when we are finally free, we look back at our journey and say, look what I did all by myself. We may even turn our back on God for a time because so we think he abandoned us first. But friends, let us be wise and see that both of these scenarios are miraculous. Usually the second is infinitely more valuable to us, even though it may not be the one we want, where he yanks us out of that uncomfortable, painful situation. It is when he sits with us and teaches us and grows us out that we receive often the greatest benefit. Either way, the invitation is to look up. Expand your view of God's involvement in your journey. And when you can, express gratitude for the hard and the one who never left your side. Because when you can do that, when you learn to trust him, it changes the entire trajectory of your life and swings open wide the doors of opportunity, not just for joy and peace for yourself, but in partnering with him to bring that to others. When you call out to the heavens, where is the deliverance? Please remember, it was never the plan to avoid pain and hardship. It is often the very mechanism that produces the opportunity for which we were created. There is always a choice involved in turning torment into triumphs or our suffering into success. Our faith into, or our fear into faith. I have, admittedly, limited faith. It is usually after the fact that I can see the workings of God as he walks alongside of me, an invisible partner of whom I often am largely unaware. But walk alongside us, he does. He did, he does, and he will continue to do so. And power enters our lives when we begin to trust his presence with us in the moment, even when we cannot see it, especially when times are dark. Remember to look up. Look up and expect miracles, maybe not the ones you want, but trust that they will be the ones you need. We are taught that there were things created both to act and things created to be acted upon, and that we, as women, were created to be things to act. One of the reasons that betrayal trauma is so traumatic is because that exact piece, our God-given agency, is being taken away. Our choices are being limited because we don't know what is real. We are living to some degree in a lie and interacting based on partial or false information. So we aren't making the same choices we would if we had the truth. This experience of being restricted is fundamentally part of what causes the trauma. We can empower ourselves when we choose to seek out and act upon what is, not what we wish was, and become a purposeful agent in the moving of reality from what is to something better. In order to truly stand up, we must begin by having a sense of where we are and a sense of what is real. In our story, this was a vital part for this worth participant to be able to see clearly enough to act on truth in a way that was empowering. For her, part of that involved letting go of the defensive hope narrative that was keeping her trapped in a lie. She had to accept that this man she was so devoted to may not feel about her the way she'd hoped, and that his lack of feelings had nothing to do with her, but in fact, had everything to do with him. It was a reflection of who he was, not who she was. Then she needed to recognize that the patterns of behavior and his treatment of her were unacceptable. That she did not need to tolerate betrayal, deception, devaluation, or other forms of mistreatment in the least in order to be a good person, and that attempting to do so was never going to buy his love for her. She had to learn to and give herself permission to set limits. Sometimes we confuse being Christ-like with enabling. We sacrifice ourselves in the spirit of righteous Christ-like sacrifice, while in reality, we are simply self-betraying. We cannot stand in this. We cannot stand without being grounded. We must be grounded in the truth of what is and true to the truth we find within ourselves. We do this through connection with ourself and out of a love of self, as well as a love for others and a love for truth. We are taught that a house divided against itself cannot stand, yet we sometimes find ourselves carving ourselves up in the name of sacrifice. This is only cutting ourselves off from our strength. Healthy sacrifice connects us with our own strength, not separates us from it. Choosing to find your power and choose to stand there. Each and every one of us, this means we have a deep intuitive knowing of what is right and good. And when we connect with this and align with it, it makes us strong. Trauma is disconnection, often disconnection from others, but always disconnection from self. We reconnect as we learn to self-repair, as healthy, appropriate self-care helps us to reconnect with ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We protect our connection with ourselves and with our strength as we set boundaries to ensure that sacred connection is not violated. As women, we have often been culturally conditioned to get this backwards. We have been pressured to believe that we will be loved and accepted by what is fundamentally self-betrayal, falsely labeled and sold to us under feminine virtues of submission, deference, and self-sacrifice, or even Christ-like virtues of being patient, tolerant, and forgiving. These are true virtues, but turning over our power is to enable evil or destructive behavior is never virtuous. I want to say that again. These are true virtues, but turning over our power to enable evil or destructive behavior is never virtuous. This is where we must protect what is sacred and set limits. This becomes hard to sort out, admittedly, especially when you have been mistreated or abused. Our connection to ourselves becomes thinner in these times, and it becomes harder to differentiate healthy, meaningful self-sacrifice for the greater good of family or purpose from self-abandonment or self-betrayal. So we go through the motions of trying to live up to these cultural we go through the motions of trying to live up to these cultural expectations of what it looks like to be a good woman. And we allow them to guide us, but we cannot allow them to be our ultimate guide. Because of this disconnection with self, we can easily fall into these traps and misapply these cultural messages or even true principles to our own disempowerment. Now we're going to use our trick again, our tool of the word and. It is true that all people are deserving of love, and we want to be patient, kind, and tolerant. We want to emulate the example of our Savior, who was all of these things and so much more. And sometimes it is when we refuse to accept the unacceptable, when we set clear limits on destructive behavior and even withdraw the benefits of our company, when patterns exist that are destructive to our well-being, that we are responding in the most loving way we can. Remember that we were made strong by a God who has empowered us to stand up and defend what is good and right against the evils of our day that are bent on destruction. Therefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. My dear friends around the world, those of you who feel your back is breaking under the weight of overwhelming responsibility, those who are laying on the floor feeling broken and defeated, those who are curled up in the fetal position just wanting the day to end, I invite you to dig deep. Discover what needs to change in your life so that you can more fully align with your power, because it is significant. And stand up. We are here to be ambassadors for the truth. And it is hard to be a trailblazer, to be the one to lead out, to break away from the traditions of the past, and to say, in essence, I am moving in this direction, and I invite you to come with me. But our voices are needed. Your voice is needed. We all have insight and wisdom born from our experience. Our stories bless us with more than just gray hairs. When Joseph Smith was suffering in Liberty Jail, he was told that his trials were to give him experience and to be for his good. And the next part of this chapter we often miss is one of the greatest blessings of all. We often read it, you'll probably recognize it, but we often read it as a criticism or a warning against pride. If you look at verse 8, it says, "The Son of Man hath descended below them all. Art thou greater than he?" We know that the Savior descended below all things for experience, so that he could connect with us in our hardest, most challenging of experiences. We connect with each other through our stories, through sharing genuine, real life experience, especially when it is hard and when it is human. Not through a sterilized antiseptic image of who we want people to see. We also connect with God this way. When we are in that hard human place of struggle, because he knows it better than anyone. And if we remember that, we have an opportunity to choose connection with him. There is power in our stories. And now you know a little of mine because I was the little girl in the nightmares. I was the betrayed partner who had to give up on a story that was fundamentally untrue and to learn to find life and hope in another one. And perhaps you and I are able to connect a little bit today. During this time, perhaps some of my story or my heart or my heartache touched a place for you. And it is amazing to me that we may never meet in person. We may be across the world, but we have this opportunity, this amazing technology that we can share for this hour when we're in even different times of the day and connect and draw strength from one another as we share. Perhaps you and I are able to connect in sharing of the hard and the real and the passion that drives us forward. My hope is that in sharing some of my story and the blessings that were born from struggle, you can find some hope as you navigate your own challenges. My hope is that you will leave today a little bit more willing to look up when you find yourself yet again overwhelmed with the heavy tasks and burdens of your life, or feeling a little bit more capable to stand up for what is good and right, or speak up when you may have otherwise remained silent, because someone somewhere needs to hear what you have to say. Because the beautiful human that is you is not here by accident. It is my deep, heartfelt conviction that no woman on the earth today is here by chance. You are here for a glorious purpose, to accomplish something that has never been done in the history of this planet. The crowning achievement of this mortal plane. The reason for which this earth was created from the beginning, to prepare the earth for the coming of her king. We, as women, are here to do it. Women who have throughout history been overlooked, overshadowed, suppressed, and stifled, exhausted, and exploited, and may still be, but despite the voices that say we are too weak, too small, too insignificant, or too broken to matter, we will not yield. We cannot yield. There is too much at stake. So we will look up, we will stand up, and we will speak up in all of our beautiful, messy humanness. At least that is my hope today. And if none of these things happened for you and today was a flop, at least I have set you up to be super impressed by Anelody's presentation next week. So come back and try again. Persistence is a great thing. Ladies, we are capable of more than we know. So rise up, daughters of Israel. Connect with the power that is within you. These fiery trials are not just things to be avoided or survive, but to strengthen our rise so that when we stand and unite with the greatest body of women, possibly that has ever lived, we create a force for good and a force for change that is miraculous. Whoops, I didn't mean to do that. Okay, somebody needs to monitor my tech skills here. Years ago, when my oldest daughter was 3, she came to me and told me with no hesitation that she was Batman. And she declared that I, therefore, and hereafter should be known as Bat Mommy. I posted this picture and with this caption on Facebook. I said, "Watch out, bad guys," or excuse me, "Watch out, villains, beware, bad guys, bring it on, world, because for today at least, we know who we are." There's Batman and her mom, and we are ready. And this was after a pretty darn hard time. This is after we were alone, and yet we were still empowered, and we were okay. I am going to share my last slide. which is how to contact us if you have questions about the program, if you heard anything today that inspired or just confused you and you need clarification. Emily and Markel will take care of you. Or if you would like to invite me to a party, this is how we can reach me. Or really for more information. And with that, I think I'm ready to shift into questions.
Oh, Kim, thank you so much for your, for just your honesty, your courage, and for making that such a beautiful invitation, powerful invitation. That connects so much with our identity. I think all of us related to the feeling that we have of trying to understand, what does it look like for me to stand and to speak and to do this thing that, you know, because I think all of us have some level of, I can see myself in that story that you told. Right? I think all of us have something that, yeah. And so let's go into our Q&A portion of this meeting. Are there any, is there anything in the chat that anyone already entered, Markel? Okay. And then, so you ladies, this is how we can do this. You can either raise your virtual hand and you can click on a virtual hand at the bottom of your screen. And it just says raise hand, and you, and then we'll know you'd like to say something. Or you can literally do this in a camera and we'll unmute you, or you can unmute yourself and speak. Any of those things will work. I'm excited because there's something amazing that happens when, yeah, we have the courage to say, I'm just wondering about something. And thank you. You're so awesome. Thank you for raising your hand. You're on.
Thank you, Kim. That was just a wonderful message. I thank you for sharing your story and everything. And my question is, my beautiful 28-year-old daughter, who has just searched and searched for her Prince Charming, has found one. And in this world, I think that everyone has a pornography problem, and so does hers. And we just love him. And I told her, because I've been coming forever, not forever, for a few years, that I was so glad that somebody gave my son a chance. And I hope that somebody will give my youngest son a chance. And so I feel fine about her proceeding with her plan to marry this boy that's been having troubles with pornography for about 8 years. He's 33. And he's just wonderful. He's trying to get help. He's been through a lot of programs. He's got a lot of, he's working on it, and he's very spiritual, and he comes from a spiritual family. So I told her to proceed with faith. And then you, on the other hand, you get a little bit nervous, but she is a really strong girl. I said, Savannah, you're just a strong woman, and it might be super hard, and it will be super hard. And so I wondered, and once we were in a meeting with Maurice, and someone asked this kind of question about their children getting married. And part of me, I just wanted to enjoy this time of her life that's really fun, planning and going, doing all these fun things to plan and get married and let her experience her own life. Or I did tell her about the Worth Group. If you, I know where to send you if there is something betrayal going on. And anyway, so we do talk openly. I just don't know how much to share. Should I let her experience her life or tell her more? Is that a good question? I don't know. I just don't know.
I want to make sure.
The truth. I told her yesterday because something happened on Sunday. He said something, you know, about her body. And I said, oh, your body is perfect. You don't need to change anything. And I'm going to tell it. If he starts saying things about your body, one, it's not too late to back out, and you don't change anything about your body unless it's for yourself. If it's making you unhappy, then do it. But I want to tell you that much. I haven't told you that much. But anyway, do you have any thoughts?
My first thought is you sound like a very wise mother and a very loving mother. And what a blessing to her as she navigates this. I think you're wise to have that on your radar and have concerns. Encourage faith for her, for you, no matter, and seek that inspiration no matter which path it takes. I will say it's a very different, there are so many different ways that involvement pornography, especially if it's been a long time, impacts someone, and that plays out in negative ways in a marriage. You mentioned one that is concerned that you have already picked up on is that he may have some negative expectations, or the way that he looks at her through a lens that is different than complete acceptance and love and adoration. I will say that it is very different. It's a very different experience. And this is just one of many factors, but a man who is very open and honest and humble and transparent, being married to someone who is struggling with pornography, who is not lying about it, who is not keeping secrets, and who is actively working on his recovery, is a different experience than someone who is lying and keeping it a secret and hiding and blame shifting and covering up and not working on it. And I will say that your daughter is not married yet. She's in a, I don't want to get too nosy into it. I find my brain goes to, okay, he's been actively working on this for years. If it was just you and I, would counsel more openly about where, or I would ask more questions. That's what's coming to my mind, is ask more questions. Why is this still a struggle after so many years? Why is this, because is that's going to be where he is for the next decade, the next 15 years, the next 20 years, the rest of your daughter's life with him, that he's struggling with this? And for some, that is their reality. It's always a struggle. And is that something she wants? Because typically things do not get better with marriage. They get worse. I think you're wise to be looking at this. I think you're wise to give him, to love him and to encourage him and to be careful and to be protective of your daughter who you love, who deserves to be loved by who she chooses. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's perfect.
Karen, do you want to correct what I said and say the right answer?
Good. Yeah, we're so good.
I don't want to do that, but I do want to thank you for her question, because, oh, it's such a common question. It's so common in our day, right? If we've had daughters or sons, either way, who have really struggled with sexual self-mastery, and we've watched them fight for recovery, and we want them to fight for recovery, and we do our best to recognize that's their personal battle, and we're the support team, we are the cheerleaders on the sidelines, but we also, everybody's on such a huge personal journey toward their healing, or toward Jesus Christ, which is their healing, right? But it's such a personal journey. But we are all mothers, no matter what your name is. If you live on this planet right now with this hypersexual world, right? You are freaking out a bit, right? You're freaking out a bit when it comes time for, I have a child that's getting married. I have seen them work so hard toward recovery. Yes, they still have some obstacles that they're working on, but they're really working on it, right? And they're not perfect, but I really want someone to give them a chance, right? And then you have this other side, which is, I have this beautiful son or daughter who is aware that they're entering marriage with someone who has struggled and been affected by pornography, which we all have 100% been affected by pornography and the hypersexuality of this. So we have to navigate this space of making choices and knowing that there's an awareness that that is a thing in our day, right? It's a big issue. And so I just loved your question so much because you voiced it. You voiced that's a, such a worry for all mommies. Especially
can I add
mommies,
one? Oh, sorry.
Please. I was going to say, especially mommies who get betrayal trauma. That's big.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I love that you said that last piece because it's really hard to get it from both sides when you've experienced it in your own marriage and then to watch that and to not transfer that fear on. And I don't know if that's at all. I'm not implying that. I'm just saying in general, to have that fear for your kids. And it's prudent. There was something you said, and Karen said something similar. And I just want to clarify, I do believe what Karen just said is that we've all been impacted by this hypersexual world. We've all, this is the world that we live in. And we do know that at least the research shows that most all, if not all men have struggled to some degree with that or have experienced exposure to pornography. But there is, I want to make a distinction between the belief that we've all been impacted and that the reality that we've all been impacted and that this has been a struggle to that all men are currently struggling with out of control sexual behavior. Because I don't think that second one is true. And I think when we have lived it or when we see it or we come and it and it's become normalized, it can feel like all men struggle like this, where they can't control their acting out. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be a little bit of a dangerous expectation to, or to say, I can't expect them to have developed this mastery. I think that's an appropriate and healthy expectation, especially for someone going into marriage to say, and this is my value. And I'm not, certainly not implying that your daughter shouldn't consider this man, but I don't want the narrative to be that we have to settle with tolerating acting out for the rest of our lives from a partner because there is no other option. All men struggle with it and will struggle with it forever. So it's a little bit of a nuance on how we use our language. And I do believe, though, that it's okay to have an expectation of this, a level of self-mastery, even if they're, as they developed and learned and grew and matured, and everybody does that at different ages and at different rates and at different times. So we've got a lot of men that are maturing that at 60 and 70, developing that mastery, but that there is an appropriate expectation to say, I expect that you've struggled with this, but you've figured it out. There is solid self-mastery in this area. So I don't know if that is something that would your daughter can have hope in. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I loved what you said. I will say this too, just because I think that it's such a vital thing. You talked so much, Kim, about how the trauma that we experience in our lives affects our mental health. It affects our identity, right? It affects how we even interpret what's going on in our lives, right? The trauma that we've experienced. And often we don't even know how to, when you said, look up and stand up and speak up, we don't know how to apply this gospel-centered, beautiful truth that we have with mortality and the fallout of the war zone, right? It's just such a hard thing. But I do think that something, I'll just say, this is something I have two young single adults and I have four married children and several grandchildren. And I've watched my three older children navigate this space that we're talking about, right? Where everybody's been affected by pornography and how that's affecting their families. And then I have these two young single adults and I didn't know to tell my older children this, but I have advised and strongly encouraged my younger children this. And it is because mental health is being affected by all that's going on in our world, especially as we're trying to interpret it through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what our expectations are. And then the fact that this is a very opposition-based plan right here in mortality, where there is a lot of suffering, there is a lot of working things out. I just have really said, if you are dating someone who's willing to be trained, who's willing to go to counseling, who's willing to do that before you get married, that's a keeper. That's what I say. That's somebody who understands this is hard and I'm not really sure how to do it, but I'd like to be successful at it. I'd like to be successful at it. And so maybe we could see how we navigate each other and how our love grows with some assistance, like with a trainer, with somebody who can help us. And I've noticed that here at Life Changing Services, because of all the angles that we come just with the three women's programs, I've just noticed that there's a lot of resources here that will address dating, right? Dating during, and maybe things to be aware of. And also some amazing professionals like yourself that understand that the trenches are dark and horrible and we want no one to go there. But sometimes it's been required in our lives to then become this phoenix that says, I'm rising from the trench and I found out who I was and how to find my voice and to do all that. That's pretty powerful. But we have to go through some really tricky, hard things. And a lot of the tricky, hard things that we're all having to navigate right now are from the fallout of this pernicious plague that's so horribly satanic.
Yeah. Amen. I think you brought up a really good point. And oftentimes there is a focus on, is he acting out, or like, where is he an addict or is he doing pornography right now? And that is important to consider. You brought up an interesting, and this is a different quality that is really valuable, is his orientation, or hers, if you have a son who's looking at marrying a girl, his orientation of taking, how willing is he to be trained? How humble is he? How much is he taking responsibility? What is his trajectory on growth in general? I also think that there are different levels of our expectations that are appropriate, and these are very individual. Dating someone who's struggling with pornography is different than marrying someone who's struggling with pornography, being friends with someone, all of these additional levels of commitment. I believe it is appropriate to have a higher expectation and to expect and look for a higher level of safety as we commit more and more. This is just me. This is not, everybody gets to make this determination. And I'm not saying this as a universal, but having been through what I have, my daughters are not marriage age, so we're not having this discussion right now. But as a mother, I expect when they start dating, they will encounter men and they will date men that are struggling with this. And they will have to figure that out and navigate that. I also think it's a fair expectation before committing to wed to expect a partner to have developed that degree of mastery, where it's not, in other words, it's not currently active. And if they can't accomplish that, again, this is my value. I'm not saying this is just how my brain works. If they can't accomplish, if they're struggling to develop that mastery as a single person, oftentimes that one of the errors a lot of men make, and young women, and I hear even bishops saying that, oh, once they get married, that will take care of that issue because then they can have sex. And we know that's not true. And I think we're setting up young people to be very deeply hurt with we have a young man that we know who can't manage this on his own. Let's throw a young woman at him and see if together they can figure that out. And I don't think I don't think that's a good setup. I don't think that's what God intended for women. And I think it is appropriate to stand up for ourselves and for other women to say, if he can't master this on his own outside of marriage, why do you think he will figure it out in marriage? That's not realistic. Love him, support him, champion his cause of trying to figure this out. It is righteous and worthy, and we can have tons of compassion as he goes through his process of growth. But we don't need to hand him a wife until he's ready for one. And maybe that's too bold. Doesn't mean he can't associate with girls. Doesn't mean he can't date. He can learn and grow. But if he wants a wife, he's got to show up as a husband. And my values, and again, this is just me, is that it is appropriate for women to expect husbands to be faithful and to have control of this energy, because that is fundamentally the law of chastity. We expect 100%, no excuses, no exceptions to that rule. We don't give missionaries, well, kids, it's two years of your life and you're serving the Lord, you can have a little bit of sexual fun. The Lord's standard is, I expect you to learn how to control this energy I've given you so that you can use it for good. But if you can't control it, it has too much power. It is too much, and it will be destructive. Holding that expectation, maybe that seems like super radically high to say, I expect a husband or a man to have control of this part of himself before I step in, or I encourage another woman to step in. But I actually think that's the low bar. That's like the minimum in my book. And again, we don't shame or condemn our men or young men or for doing that. I think it actually is empowering to encourage them when they're young to say, hey, this is the bar. I get that you're struggling as a 15, 16, 17-year-old young man with all these hormones and in this world that it's the deck is stacked against you, but let's figure this out now so that you are prepared to step into a marriage with a partner that you can be equal to and that you can rise together in new ways that are precluded when you are throwing in this mess of infidelity and pornography and in and out and struggle and all of that. Now, some men, then they need that message when they're 30. Let's figure this out now. Let's figure this out now. Because you did, for whatever reason in your life, you hadn't had the right opportunities whatever reason, let's do it now. You're totally capable of this. I think we do men a disservice when we give them the pass that says all men struggle with this and we can't expect anymore. Oh, the heck we can. We can expect more from men. We should expect more from men. They're capable of this. Especially when we're going to give them something like our souls and our hearts and our eternity, we can expect them to have mastery over their sexuality. Okay, so Karen, correct me. I feel like I'm saying way too much and being way too bold.
No, I don't feel to correct you in any way. I think you're speaking truth. I do want to say and just express why I appreciated so much having the resources for self-mastery, for getting to a place of recovery. I just loved coming to this empowering place here at Life Changing Services, this empowering place of, we have to absolutely address this. We have to empower women with the ability to see their identity clearly and have the things that they've got, they value, and stand for those things, right? That's something we do here, but we also get that we don't know naturally how to do that, most of us. It's a process, and it's something that we learn often in a powerful way together. Like you said, you shared how women sharing with other women their life experience and being supported in their life experience creates this community where we're finding this, okay, I can see myself more clearly. When you share you, I see me better, all that. But also, I think knowing that there's a training, this is what I love about the man training here at Life Changing Services, is there is no excuses. We aren't going to coddle this, but we are going to hit it hard as a training. And we want you to take responsibility for it and to recognize that the bar can be really high and that you can actually achieve that even as an adolescent boy, right? That's the kind of training that we have here for men and for boys, but there's a lot of accountability and a lot of there's no excuse kind of a attitude, like, but there's also an understanding that self-mastery isn't an overnight process, right? So I think that this, that's one thing I loved about having family members involved in the addiction recovery side of Life Changing Services, is that the trainers in Sons of Helaman or Men of Moroni, they had empathy for what was going on, but they also had this absolute belief in the sanctifying power of Jesus Christ and that this addiction doesn't have to last your whole life. And you can get to a place where you are in self-mastery. So anyway, I just really appreciate that about Life Changing Services and their programs for men and young men. So that's one thing I think that just naturally boys, men also think, I don't know. I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do it. So to have somewhere that says, you absolutely can do this. You can do it, but you got to stick to it, be humble enough to stick to it, and have some support and training around it. While all of those who are being affected by the pain that you caused in misusing that power are also being supported and learning to heal. Now you correct me, Kim.
Sounded beautiful.
Yeah. It's such a deep, important place. You're so good. Let's see. Markel, is Markel still here? Markel, was there anything you put in the chat at all?
Yes, there is one question, and I've also shared the information for Worth in the chat, as well as the information for the Men of Moroni.
Very good.
And I can also share for the others as well, where you can find that information at lifechangingservices.org. And this question right here is...
Before you give the question, I'm sorry. I know we're going to be out of time here in just a minute.
Okay.
Do you have a few more minutes, Kim, to answer another question?
I can go maybe two. I actually have a group that starts in a minute that I moved 30 minutes, but they're used to me being 2 minutes late, but I probably shouldn't do much more than that.
So let's just do one.
Yeah, it's just a really quick question. And she said, this is for you, Kim. How did you reconcile what you believe to be your answer from God to marry that man?
Oh, that is so much longer than a 1 minute question. This is an insufficient answer, admittedly. I will say at least a part of that answer I've come to believe is resolved in two truths. One, that God really honors our choice and champions our choice. And I have changed a little bit how I think about this from find the right person to marry and then God says, yep, he's the right one, or oops, that was the wrong one, to realizing that as we interact with God and we grow our ability to receive personal revelation and to engage in a relationship with him, that there are many things that we can choose of our own free will, that he is pleased with us using our agency to step into choices that ultimately we will learn and grow from, and he will stand with us and may even turn out not the way we expected. In other words, there is so much heartbreak and heartache around, and I completely understand the God, how could you have let me, not even just let me, how did you not warn me? How did you even say yes to this thing that has caused me so much pain? And I think that God, again, he honors our choices. He honors our desires. And he commits to be with us in the journey wherever it leads us, and not to abandon us. But I wanted to marry this man. I wanted God to tell me it was okay. And so he did. And it was okay. Maybe it didn't feel like it in the marriage. It certainly was not what I thought I was getting. But in the end, it was okay. And in fact, it was more than okay. Maybe not for him, but for me, because I am who I am now because of that. And I may not have had the relationship that grew with this man, but I did grow a relationship with God there. And I grew into a person that I believe that God is proud of, and I am proud of. And so in a weird sense, that celestial marriage really worked out in a way that it progressed me on the journey and progressed me exactly where in the direction that I was supposed to go, even though it wasn't with him. Again, admittedly an insufficient and unsatisfying answer, but a beginning.
So glad you shared that piece of your story too. So important for us to, because we could stay frozen in, we'd rather live in our refrigerator than live out in the world. We just would be like, I just don't want to do this. It's just too scary and hard. I think I'll just live in the fridge. And so I think it's so important to just say, I'm here to live this life, right? And I'm here to do the best I can and learn all the beautiful pieces of why agency is a gift, and that Jesus Christ's ability through what he did for me, for all of us, his ability to come and be with me and not only help me carry this, but also help me become more of me. Help me become more of me because of the experience. I love that you brought up Joseph Smith's, all these things shall bring the experience. And then that part that you said, art thou greater than he, right? The Son of Man is descended below all things. Art thou greater than he? The very first time I've ever heard it was today when you shared that scripture was, art thou greater than he? The recognition is there's no one greater to be helping you in this than me. I am the greatest help that you could ever have, right? There's no one greater. I descended below it all so I could come underneath it all, around it all, be with you in it. So anyway, that art thou greater than he was that thing that I do. I'm just going to live in the fridge and never come out, right? It's that thing of I've got to step out of the fridge. I've got to make choices. I have to also walk and grow and do all of that, right? And thank you, Kim, for your beautiful sharing and for that powerful message. It was just beautiful. It was absolutely wonderful. So good. So yeah, ladies, I'm just going to share a screen with you. And Kim, if you need to run, that's okay. And yeah, you ladies that are onto another meeting, but I just wanted to share a screen and let you know what's coming up here, ladies. I forgot, almost said goodbye, and then I forgot, oh, I'm in charge of this part. So yes, thank you so much, Kim, for joining us. And thank you so much for bringing such a powerful conversation to the table for us. Next week, for our Stay by the Tree Messages of Hope, in our Empowering Women series, it's going to be Anelody Milne, and she's the director of our Warrior Women of Light and Daughters of Light program. So excited for you to hear from her. And so that's what we're having next week. You can still register for the whole series, even get this week's recording if you'll get registered today. So if you want to send this out and invite other people to come next week, she'll be talking about, so if you have anybody in your life that's a woman or a young woman who is in that courageous space of noticing life is super messy and this is affecting me And I want to have a more successful life. I want to be able to learn how to grow me and how to find the support that I need in that. This is the one. This would be great for you to come and listen to. We all have our own issues that we just keep saying, oh, be well, be. I don't know what to do about it. But if we can just, yeah, just excited for you to hear from Anality next week. So come and share that with everybody. Going to staybythetree.org to register. And this is so great. Look at this. You can just text the word hope to this number, 801-923-2849. And someone will just contact you and say, what's on your heart? What's on your mind? How can we help? Is there anything we can help you with? You can also just scan that QR code right there. And yeah, it'll take you to a free book, download of a free book, as well as the opportunity to talk to somebody about the needs in your family or you individually. But just knowing you're not alone and that there's so much hope, even in hard, there's so much hope. We would just love to hear from you. And then we just wanted to make sure that you are aware of something really fun coming really quickly here at the end of April. We have a really special women's retreat happening for 2 days that's just so faith-filled and connecting in such a safe, beautiful way in this gorgeous, spacious lodge in Apopka Creek Canyon in Springville, Utah. And the views are just breathtaking. The food is absolutely delicious. Even the presentation is just lovely. And the meaningful connections you'll have and the classes that you'll get, just knowing that you're gonna leave feeling more inspired with hope and more inspired to recognize that, wow, there's such a Christ-centered focus here and such support here that I do leave feeling empowered, enlightened, and energized. Not that all my problems went away, because that doesn't happen at a retreat, right? But I'm going to sign up for that one when I find it. It's going to be great. And I think, yes, starting at 11 o'clock, we have a meeting. Today's our mother's tutorial where we just collaborate and help each other. But it's, yeah, what's weighing on your heart in your mothering? And this is a safe, awesome place to talk about it together with other women who are like-minded that also really understand where you're coming from. But that happens at 11 o'clock today. But thank you so much. And we're excited to hear from you next week, Anality. Thanks everybody for being here. We'll see you next week. And be sure to share this series. All right. Thanks, Luann. Thank you for being with us today, Warrior Moms. I invite you to make a donation at the top of our website, mothersyouknow.org. Any amount you can afford today will help us keep Mothers Who Know services free for all moms. Thank you so much for your generosity. Moms, remember your divine identity and great worth. Continue in your courageous efforts to support God's great work. Notice the miracles you see every day, the evidence of the Savior's love and mercy. Find the message in your message. Reach out and share the principles you learn in Mothers Who Know with other mothers. You are God's secret weapon for good in this world. Finally, a few pieces of information for you. I recommend a few other podcast channels to listen to. Like Dragons Do They Fight podcast, that includes interviews and stories with those that have struggled and overcome something in their life. And the Eternal Warriors podcast, hosted by two YSA-age young men who share their story, teach valuable lessons, and interview special guests. You can follow us on our social media pages on Facebook under mothersyouknow.lcs or search for Mothers Who Know, and on Instagram, username @mothers_who_know. Last, if you would like additional support and training, please go to mompowertraining.com to sign up for the next 8-week Mom Power Training class for all moms. You can also go to the Mothers Who Know website at mothershwknow.org or our parent company, Life Changing Services, at lifechangingservices.org to learn more about our excellent services to support you and your loved ones. Thank you so much for listening today. Please feel free to email me anytime with questions or to set up a complimentary 30-minute appointment to visit. Please email me at mothershwknow@lifechangingservices.org. Looking forward to hearing from you, amazing moms. See you next time.